Welcome back to Listen in Wonder. In Season 1, we explored the many ways God speaks to us through whispers, scripture, prayer, and unexpected moments that remind us He's near. This season, we're turning our attention to a theme that touches every one of us at some point in life, God's presence in our suffering. Suffering is never easy, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. But in the middle of pain and questions, we believe God's presence surrounds us, holds us, and even transforms us. This season, we'll listen to real stories from women who've walked through seasons of suffering. We'll ask them, what was helpful, what wasn't? How did God meet them in their pain? And how did community play a role in reminding them they weren't alone? Our hope is that these conversations will meet you right where you are, offering comfort, courage, and confidence, no matter the circumstances. You are surrounded by wonder.
Welcome back to Listen in Wonder. I am so excited. We are very, very close to conference day. And it is truly a privilege to sit in the weeks prior to Wonder and get a front row seat to what the Lord is doing. He is very active and He is very present, and He has orchestrated many things for us, and we are grateful. So as we near Saturday, we're just a few days away. I hope that all of you are able to join us for Wonder Conference. It's not too late to purchase your ticket at thehills.org/wonder, but you are not going to want to miss this special day. This year, we really felt called to talk about God's presence in our suffering. And so the theme is Surrounded by Wonder. And I'm real excited today to get to share a guest with you from our conference team. We met several years ago after Wonder Conference. She came up to me and said, I want to be a part of this. What I experienced in this day, I know a lot of praying and planning and things go into this day, and I want to be a part of it. And so it's just a real honor to get to sit here with her today. 3 years later, she has not dropped off the conference team. She keeps coming back for more. And so this year, we actually are going to get to tell part of her story. And I'm super excited to introduce to you from our West Fort Worth campus, Sharon Carroll. So Sharon, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome.
You're excited, aren't you?
Oh, you know I am.
I only had to twist her arm just a little bit, you guys. But over the last couple of years, she has faithfully led some volunteer teams for us and just been a real encouragement to our team. And as we headed down the path to get ready for this year in talking about God's presence and our suffering, as He does, I was sitting in a summer Bible study last summer at the West Fort Worth campus. I don't know if you remember this. Mm-hmm. Charla McClure was leading a study by Lisa Harper called Lyrics of Life, which, I mean, they're not paying us for this, but you should go to Right Now Media and listen to that whole Bible study that talks about the Psalms and how we don't have to curate our emotions before the Lord. And every feeling is in the book of Psalms. And the women at West Fort Worth were faithfully gathering every week that summer and working through that study. And I happened to be over there one evening when y'all were talking about suffering and things that you had been through in your lives. And it was one of the first times I've heard some pieces of your story and thought, wow, you have such joy when you walk into places. And to hear parts of your story, the only explanation is that the Spirit is in you and has been surrounding you. And so we're not going to dive into, well, what do you want to tell people about current day? Current day, Sharon, introduce yourself first.
Oh, dear. A current day Sharon has been retired for 12 years, and I love it because I can do what I've always loved, which is volunteering. Mm-hmm. That's just where my joy really comes from, is doing that. We used to travel a lot till my husband kind of pooped out on me.
He retired from traveling?
He did, and I don't like it, but... No, I just stay busy with BSF and Bible studies and volunteering Academy 4 and Leaders 5, and I just get to do whatever I think the Lord is directing me to do.
Yeah.
So that's just, retirement's awesome.
And every Monday you serve?
I work at the food pantry at the Community Enrichment Center. I do. And today I was telling Barbara, in 4 hours, we served over 200 people.
I still can't, I really don't have a pocket to put that in. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. It's a lot of people that are in need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for somebody who's retired, the amount that you serve is amazing. It's just amazing. It's a choice.
Oh, absolutely it is. Yeah.
And you, do you seek out all those things? Like how did you get involved in, you're involved in Community Enrichment Center, Academy 4, like you sought out these places or?
Yes and no. I honestly believe that God has put me where I need to be because there's other opportunities and they just didn't feel right. Okay. So it's got to be where God wants me to be.
Yeah. And well, because he created you and he knows the gifts that he created in you. He knows the work that he has for you to do, which I'm kind of glad we didn't talk that we were about starting this way. But if you're coming to Wonder on Saturday, there are all kinds of ministry partner tables in the lobby. Really great organizations, some that Sharon has mentioned and many, many more. But our hope and desire has always been that a part of Wonder would be that women would experience the presence of God and know who he is, who he created them to be, that he did not create us to be consumers. He created us to be hands and feet and serve. And so if you're wondering about serving in any capacity, Wonder Conference is a great place to kind of just mill around the lobby and ask questions to ministry partners and people who are serving as a part of their way of life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And because you retire, you don't stop working. Mm. The word retirement, somebody told me one time, is not in the Bible.
It's not.
You don't stop working for God. So
if y'all find it in the Bible, come tell us because I've heard the same thing. And that until we are home, we will, you know, we'll have work here to do.
And then we'll have work there too.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
He's a good God. Well, okay. So you are from our West Fort Worth campus.
I am.
And so, but I think that y'all went to North Richland Hills before West Fort Worth. So we're gonna back your story up quite a bit here.
Like, all right.
We'll get back to the hills in just a minute. But tell us a little bit about your story and growing up and maybe like how your life intersected with the Lord.
I guess I didn't really think about it as suffering, but it was. My parents got a divorce when I was about 12.
Wow.
And my mother's divorce.
Did you have siblings at the time?
No, I have no siblings. I'm an only child.
Okay, see, I told you there are pieces in your story that I don't know. And I was excited to sit here today just to kind of like fill in some of the blanks. Okay, so you're an only child.
I'm an only child.
Did you know our guest from last week? She is also, Brenda McAdoo is also an only child.
Oh, she is?
Yes.
Okay.
It's kind of fascinating. Right. Okay, so only child and you're 12 years old when they decide they're getting a divorce.
Well, my mother decided because she caught my father in adultery. Mm. It was on the divorce decree. Mm. And you don't see that very often.
Yeah.
So.
So hard for a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah. But I was surrounded by family and friends.
Where'd you grow up? Where is this? Like, are we in Texas? Or
We're in Tennessee.
In Tennessee.
Tennessee. Okay. So you don't really realize it as much.
Were y'all in the church?
Like, oh, absolutely.
Okay, so you grew up in the church.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, day one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my whole life. My grandfather was an elder. I mean, yeah, it's always been church. It's always been a part of my life. Mm-hmm. But then a couple of years later, long story I won't go into, my mother ended up marrying a Church of Christ preacher.
Okay.
And we moved to California.
Wow.
That was traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
It really was.
Yeah, because everything you knew up to that point, you're leaving behind.
Oh, and culture's totally different. They laughed at my accent. You know, it's just, it was hard. But then I went to Lubbock Christian.
Mm. And then From California. Wow.
I did. I was ready to leave California.
No offense to our California,
but then after 8 years, I got a divorce. Mm. And I had Katie at that point.
Okay.
And she was 5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah. Had Katie, got a divorce. When Katie was 17, she...
And where are you living at this time? When Katie's 17.
I am in Arlington.
Okay,
in Larry Arlington. And I forget. I got married.
Okay,
again.
Okay. Yes, we want to introduce Larry.
I forgot Larry.
So, okay,
sorry.
So how old was Katie when you met Larry?
13.
Okay,
and that's a tough age.
Okay,
it
yeah.
really is hard.
Sure.
So we moved from Beaumont to Arlington, mm-hmm. and then she decided she did not like our rules, and moved down to Dayton, Texas, and lived with her father.
And she hadn't lived with him all that time?
All that time. Yeah, so she lived with him.
And, okay, she's 13 when she moves back home? I mean, 13 when she moves back in with her dad?
She was 17.
17,
yeah,
okay. 13 when y'all moved here. And then
17 when she moved in with her dad.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow. That's even like, and she's your only child?
Mm-hmm. She is.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was those were some tough days. But then one night,
before you go on.
Okay.
She's moved to Beaumont. What year is this?
1988.
Okay. So we just want to set a little context for our people.
Okay.
Especially our younger people.
Okay.
Because in 1988, there are not really cell phones.
Oh, no.
There's no texting.
No, no.
There's no Facebook. There's no, I know, I'm looking at our sweet little Reese recording this right now.
Hard to believe, isn't it, Reese?
There's, you know, in 1988, for our young people, you are writing a letter, putting a stamp on it, putting it in the mail, waiting for that person to get it and write you back. Or you're paying long distance for
charges.
Phone calls.
That's right. That's right.
So communicate. I mean, it just, you didn't have this daily knowing of... Uh-uh. How are things going? She's in a new school. She hasn't lived with her dad in all of this time. And so why I'm setting this context is I want to ask you, what was going on in your heart those days when you were wondering how she was doing?
Oh, well, number one, my heart was broken.
Sure.
Absolutely broken. Uh-huh. I knew it was the wrong thing for her to do, mm-hmm. but her father supported it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did talk on the phone and she visited on weekends every so often, but it was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was. So.
And as you just said that, like knowing it was the wrong thing, but allowing her to do it, just makes me think that God does that for us too. You know, we could choose to do something wrong and he allows it, you know, because of free will.
Free will. That's mm-hmm. right. And she had free will, and it turned out to not be a good thing.
Yeah. So she's 17. She's living in Beaumont. Okay.
Right. She decided she didn't like her father's rules either.
Oh.
So.
She just didn't like rules.
She was very independent and stubborn. Mm. So she moved in with a friend's sister.
Okay.
And.
Is she in high school still?
Oh, yeah. She's a junior.
Okay.
In high school.
Wow.
Still going to school. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But one night she went to a Catholic fair.
Okay.
And was drinking. Mm. And on the way home, had a wreck.
And she was driving.
She was by herself, thank goodness.
Okay.
Yeah. And died instantly.
Mm.
So, yeah, that was tough.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Are you like... at home and you're asleep when you get that phone call? Or what walk me through that.
Larry and I had been on vacation. Okay. We had been in the Virgin Islands for a week and walked into our house on Monday that was filled with people.
Oh.
Mainly, well, it was people from church.
Okay.
We were going to Pleasant Ridge at the time.
Okay, yeah.
And tell me what had happened.
You walk into your home from vacation and there are people in your home.
To tell me that my daughter had died.
I can't even imagine it.
I don't wish it on anybody.
Yeah.
Absolutely nobody. So, yeah.
And that was 1988.
And coincidentally, it was September the 11th, 1988.
Wow.
Yeah. So this coming Thursday will be 37 years.
Wow. 37 years without Katie.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Sharon, I think the reason this conversation is so important is because we believe that God has seen all of our days. You know, and we believe that he's present in all of our days. And to think that he's on your worst day, he's still a good God because it's who he is. And that before you walked into that day, he was already there, which is why he's able to fill your home with people. I didn't know that part of the story, but as I'm imagining this, filling your home with people, and that's what we've been, he's impressed upon our team so much this year, is that we are surrounded by wonder.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 37 years you've been walking this. Yeah. Do you remember what you said to me recently about... It's why I asked you. I know she's like, but it's really what kind of started this whole conversation with why I thought it was important for you to tell your story is that you said to me recently, I don't wish for her to be here. Is that how you said it? Or did you say it?
I said, and I have said for quite a while, I do not want her back.
There you go. There you go.
I don't want her back. Mm-hmm. She is in the perfect place. She is happy. She is not seeing all the sin in this world and everything that's going on. There's no temptation.
The and uncertainty, the fast pace of things, the like...
being torn with whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's fully...
Oh, she's fine.
Yeah.
She's
better than the rest of us.
I'm just really jealous most days.
But also, when you said that, I was like... Okay, Sharon, so because, you know, I lost my mom almost 2 years ago and how we still, it doesn't mean we don't miss them crazy.
That's right.
But there's a different longing for our eternal home.
Oh, yeah.
And it's more of the emphasis of like, oh, what a reunion that's going to be. The longing for the reunion outweighs the longing for her to be here now.
Absolutely. But that's the hope that we have, that we will see all the loved ones that we've lost. I mean, that's a certainty.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm...
God's word tells us that is going
absolutely.
To happen.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm ready.
Yeah. So you're ready.
I'm ready.
Which is why I was like, okay, well, then I think you're ready to tell your story. You may not have agreed with me, but I was thinking you're ready. I think some of the things that we really were hoping to unpack in this season were to really talk with people who had been through really hard times so that we can learn as the body of Christ how to do that better. And so one of the questions I have for you, when you think back, obviously those people being in your home, may not have had vocabulary for it that day was helpful, but now that you have that memory. But I'm just wondering, what kinds of things in the last 37 years have been helpful that other people have done for you?
One thing in particular comes to mind, and some of you will probably know who I'm talking about, but Beverly Watson.
I just had lunch with her today.
Did you?
Yes, because she's in my gathered group, which if you don't go to the Hills, you may not know.
Oh,
we have something called gathered group that meets once a month where women gather around a table for a meal and to talk through some similar conversations that Sharon and I are having today. Okay, so Beverly Watts.
Every year, for many years, on September the 11th, mm-hmm. she sent me a card and a note every year. And finally, one day I saw her and I said, Beverly, you've got to stop this. She says, no, I already have it bought for next year. So it's not what people said necessarily, mm-hmm. because I heard so many of the things that
we're going to go there in a minute. Yeah.
But just a hug and just hearing from people.
Yeah.
That was the main thing. Yeah.
Which I know, like, the first year, you're probably like, yeah, and that is helpful. It probably became more helpful. I mean, I know you're like, you don't have to keep doing this. But like when somebody doesn't forget year 7, year 8, year 9.
10. Yeah.
That's helpful.
Because one of the things that's really important to a parent that's lost a child mm-hmm. is that they not be forgotten.
Right.
And that's what Beverly did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Katie was not forgotten.
And probably saying in the card, like, I know you're thinking of Katie or
I'm thinking of you.
But like hearing her name.
Oh, yeah.
Is helpful.
Yeah.
Right. Like she belongs to you. Like it's her name's not forgotten. She's not forgotten.
All right. So let me throw this in ahead of time.
Please.
God is still blessing me mm-hmm. because I've known this couple for 50 years. Mm-hmm. And they showed up at West Fort Worth, and we did. Katie and their son went to daycare together.
Oh, wow.
So they knew Katie.
Yeah.
When she was little.
And stories of Katie. You know what I mean?
So when I talk about her, they mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. And I feel free to talk about her.
Yeah.
Donning Kathy McLeod.
Oh, stop. Okay. So I will just say for our listeners. Don and Kathy McLeod are some of my favorite people because their daughter is one of my very best friends. But they just love people well. And I love that all these years later, mm-hmm. you guys are worshiping every single week together. I mean, a whole lifetime. It's almost like it's the same lifetime, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
absolutely.
That was a lifetime ago.
It was.
And now that, you know, you get to see them and you don't even have to say a word. She doesn't have to say a word. Y'all are connected
I see their son, Todd, that went to daycare with Katie. And it's just it's just really, really comforting.
Wow.
It really is. It's really special.
That is special.
So I'm still being blessed
all
these years.
Yeah. Can you think of anything else that was really helpful?
Honestly, it's been so long ago. That not really.
Okay, that's it.
Because after a while, you move on from the hurt and the pain,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. you really don't want to remember some of that.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
It's so not hard. Really, but just, you know, being able to talk about her.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm so glad that you said yes to this. okay, when I started preparing for this year, I have unapologetically said, we're going to talk about what wasn't helpful. And it might be awkward, but the reason is that I think the Lord knows the hearts of the people we're helping, and he wants us to do it well, and we're ambassadors of him, and so we want to do it well. And I think sometimes in our humanness, is that a word? We want to be helpful.
Oh.
And but then it's not always helpful. And so we need to learn how we can do this really, really well and walk alongside of people who are suffering. So I'm just going to ask you, what wasn't helpful?
Let me preface it by saying this.
Okay.
There are certain circumstances in life where people want to be helpful.
Right.
But they don't know how to do it.
I know.
And they mean well.
So if they really want to be helpful, they're going to lean in right now.
Barbara said that, not me. Or just give somebody a hug. Don't say anything. Mm-hmm. But comments like, oh, well, you can replace her. You can have another one. Just comments like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they meant well.
Right.
So.
Like you were young enough to have another child if you wanted to have mm-hmm. another child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we have to be really careful with our words. One of our guest speakers who is coming on Saturday, Catherine Wolf, says, you know, being intentional with our words can be really helpful. Mm-hmm. Taking time to pause before speaking and thinking that through. And she uses the example of if somebody said to you, Sharon, like, I don't know, 2 months in, 2 years in, how are you? That's really hard and sometimes not helpful because you're like, well, what am I supposed to say?
I'm doing fine.
Right. And you're not fine.
No.
And so when we say, how are you? We might really want to know, but then it puts the person on the spot of like, okay, do they really want to know how I am today? Do I have to fake it today? And so what Catherine teaches in her book is to add one word to that question. And to say to the person in suffering, how are you today? Mm. How are you today communicates, I really want to know, is today a good day or a bad day? You don't have to tell me how the last 10 days have gone or, you know, so I just, those are the kinds of things I hope we learn from in this conversation is that if we really want to be helpful, and I think most of us do, you know, that oh, okay, well, let me ask somebody in suffering, how are you today, meets them in the moment that they're in and doesn't make them feel like they have to explain anything. They can just talk about today. And so,
it's true.
Yeah.
It is. But then you also have an inner sense, I think, of who you can talk to and who you can't.
Sure.
So I think that, at least it came with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you kind of know who to, you know, tell the story to.
Yeah, who to tell the story to. Well, and that's always been important to me too, Sharon, because, I mean, I spend a lot of time asking the Lord who should share their story in this season or on this panel or in this, like, video testimony, because I don't ever want somebody to feel like their story is being exploited.
Mm.
I want them to... You know, God's timing is perfect. And you could have been asked a decade ago or a year ago to share Katie's story, and it might not have been the right time. So, how would you answer this question in these years that have followed Katie's death? How has God met you in your pain?
I am not the same person today spiritually that I was 37 years ago. Mm. I know I've grown. I've learned a lot. Mm-hmm. Learned a lot more about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
God has put people in my path that I can help.
Mm.
And that has just made a huge difference.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. For several years, we had a group here that met on Thursday nights called Hope, helping other parents endure. And it was parents that had lost a child.
Mm.
So I was one of the facilitators of that group. Phil and Brenda Martin were other facilitators.
Beautiful.
God put Brenda in my life for a reason.
Yeah.
That's been huge.
Wow.
Just being able to help others that have gone through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
I cannot tell you the number of times I sit with somebody on this side of suffering and they're like, what you just described, I'm a different person. I depend on the Lord. I know more. I'm more confident of Spirit because of my suffering, you know, and I think it's one of the things we're always going to marvel at. We're always going to wonder. We may not fully understand, and why these conversations this season are so important is that the people sitting in your seat in every episode can testify to God's goodness, that his spirit is real, that the Lord met them in the hardest days. And so you being able to testify to that is, I mean, I don't really have words for it, but I just know that there are listeners out there that are either they haven't been through a season of suffering yet, or they're in it right now. And your confidence in who God is and who the Spirit is because of your experience is going to give them hope.
Well, at the time, I didn't. It was just so much pain that you don't realize that he's there.
Yeah.
But then when you start coming out of it, you couldn't go through that without him.
That's right.
I don't see how people do it. Mm-hmm. I really do not.
Yeah. I'm so grateful that you've been willing to sit in this seat and be so vulnerable with parts of your story that, thank you so much, Sharon. Is there anything else you want to say about the role community plays to help people know they're not alone?
First, I think you have to know who they are. I don't know that we always know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get the announcements, you know, at church, but sometimes you just don't know.
Yeah.
So I think getting to know people is a big part of it.
You're going to start stepping on some toes here, because what happens when we go into church every single Sunday?
I'm fine.
But then also, I just think we're supposed to talk about this. Myself included, oftentimes gravitates to the people that I know really well.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I already know what's going on in their life. Mm-hmm. And so, can we have eyes to see people who aren't connected yet, who need community, you know? We have to be very intentional. Yeah.
But honestly, I think it's easier at West Fort Worth than it is here. And we went here for 20 years.
Yeah.
It's easier there. We're not as large.
Mm-hmm. The size of your campus.
Oh, absolutely.
But still, you have 3 services now. So,
we do.
I mean, you know, you're we growing. Do. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess I really had not thought about this until now.
Mm-hmm.
But God has put on my heart who I need to reach out to.
Oh, okay. Well, do you have somebody specific in mind right now? You don't have to say their name. Or are you just saying on a regular basis, he puts thoughts in your mind of people who to check on?
No, I will see people at church.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of some right now.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I need to go talk to that person for whatever reason.
And you don't know yet what the reason is.
I don't.
It will be revealed when you do.
It has been.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I hear you saying encourage people to follow through on those promptings.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you never know if they need somebody, you can help them, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's so sweet to get, I call it having a front row seat to what the Lord's doing, like when we do follow through with those promptings.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he reveals it to us, it just makes him more real and his spirit more real. It makes it more real to me that he knows every single one of us and what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't follow through on it, he'll send somebody else.
He will.
You know? So.
And you'd miss out.
And I would miss out. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Sharon, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're going to owe me big time.
We'll find out later what that's going to cost me. I'm asking all of our guests this season to kind of talk us through, like, we're still here, you know, we're not forever home yet. So we're going to have good days and hard days, and we're going to have good seasons and hard seasons. Mm-hmm. So when you have a hard day or a hard season, what is it in God's word that anchors you? What is it that you grab onto and go, I know this is true, even in this hard day?
And I don't want this to be depressing to people, but after 37 years, I will still have a hard day. And I don't know why.
It's not depressing. It's reality.
It is reality, but you can't figure it out. Now, I'll tell you, Mother's Day and Christmas
are really hard.
You can just write those off. They're gone.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So what do you hold on to when those days are hard?
Well, number one, my knowledge that I'll see her again. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Mm. That's the big one.
Yeah.
But in case you're asking, I have had a verse forever, actually two, and it's Psalm 34, 17 and 18. You know what it is?
Is that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted?
Uh-huh. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them.
Yes.
He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
So beautiful. Yeah. I mean, to hear God's word say over and over, not just in this, not just in Psalms, it's multiple places.
Oh, yeah.
That when you cry out to me, I hear you. That's so personal. It's so personal. And I'm so grateful that you can testify that he is close to the brokenhearted, that he is who he says he is, that he loves you, that he loves Katie, that he loves the people that he knows are suffering, and he's using you to be his voice, to be, you know, that reminder to people. So thank you so much for doing this. Do we have you signed on for a couple more years, or are you...
I don't know. It depends.
depends what we ask you to do.
Well, that's right.
Thank you, Sharon. And we're sitting here today recording this, but when our listeners hear it, you and I are going to be 3 days away from Wonder.
Yay.
So what are you looking most forward to about that day? And when we'll let you close us out with that.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I didn't know this question was coming.
I tend to do that to people. I'm so sorry. Yeah, that is disclaimer.
I guess what's moved me the most is at the end, when you see all these women in prayer, at the front, knowing they are there for a reason, and God put them there because that's where they needed to be, and they heard something they needed to hear.
Yes.
So,
I mean, it is overwhelming to sit in that room where there will be, I don't know, we don't know yet, over 1,400 people.
Yeah.
And he knows every single heart.
He does.
He knows what concerns her. He knows the doubts that she has. He knows the longings that she has. And he can meet and tend to each one. It is a powerful thing to witness.
It is. So,
guys, if you have not bought your ticket, it is not